On your home smart speaker.
Hey, Google.
And on the radio, this is Triple M's Rush Hour. Oh,
wrapping up the weekend of footy.
Get Purple in here and discuss footy.
This is Damo's recovery session. When you need a tool, call Coates Hire on 13 15 52.
Damo, nice to have you in. And there's a fair bit of news flying around as we get these games crossed off.
Yeah, there is, Jim. And before we touch the actual games themselves, and we're entering day 13 of this 20-day of consecutive football sequence we've got. The abuse of players, which we, as a station, I think even as individuals in the conversation here, often choose and feel that it's best to leave away from the public ears and eyes what goes on. But given Mitch Robinson has today referenced some abuse that players are copping over people losing multi-bets on the back of players not reaching certain targets. And then we had on the weekend, as we know, Kellen Ward receiving a death threat for the free kick that he received late in that game on the weekend. It's reached the stage where clearly the Players Association are full steam ahead now in calling this behaviour out. And while it's a ploy that is not always comfortable with me, I totally get Jim and Bill where they're at with this. They clearly have had enough. We had Aaron Hall's situation last week. Yep. We've had so many other matters relating to this
What's the Mitch Robinson one, Damo?
He's just referenced, Bill, and made public how players are receiving abuse regularly. And we know this has been going on for some time now. And that is that if they're putting a player in to get a certain amount of kicks or disposals or goals within a wider multi-bet, and if that player kicks one goal and not two goals and they're losing these multi-bets, you know, maybe worth $100 or whatever it is, and he's referenced the $100 bet return on a $5 bet outlay as you know, the recent abuse. So it's pretty ordinary, I reckon, the access that the public think they've got to these players via these social media platforms. And I suppose the more disturbing one, to me anyway, was the Kellen Ward one, which actually reached his own email, and that was the club email that they used. But to think that they can take it down another depth when it comes to getting in or attempting to get inside the heads of the athletes just on the back of what happens on the field. It's quite worrying because it is a violation, isn't it, of their thought spaces as much as anything. And you could tell and listening to Kellen Ward that he was quite disturbed by it. Not so much for himself, but what his family, by extension, was being subjected to.
With Mitch Robinson and what he's talking about, Purple, I know this is real. As you two know, I don't ever gamble, but as I know this is real because on my own platform, which is only Instagram, at Global and Trending, the number one, I get blokes having a go at me about my nephew's output.
Right.
Oh. Yeah, they'll go, thanks very much to one of the two of them for, you know, getting 20 kicks and not 22, because if they got 22, I would have ended up collecting $240 from a multi. I don't even understand what that is because I'm not a punter. But so if that's happening there, what Mitch Robinson's talking about is real. But how do we... What the hell do we do about it, Damo? These young people live their lives on social media, so how are we ever going to impact this?
Yeah, they do, Jim. And look, I've had this conversation a few times with a few people. I don't know, and I hate saying that there is no solution in the way I see it to be, because I also know there's an element out there of people who actually like us even now talking about what they do, because that's often what drives them.
Because their lives are irrelevant.
There's that aspect of it. And they actually poke and prod and hope that someone has a reaction, like a Kellen Ward, like a Mitch Robinson. Yep. And these people who live a very, very ordinary way of approach to a lot of parts of their lives, get off on the worry they cause in others and the abuse that they give to others.
It's bullying.
Now, holding the ball, Purple.
Lockie Neal, he did say on Twitter, 3 weeks ago when he kicked 0-6, remember he kicked the six behind. Yeah. According to my Twitter feed, a few of you have had me for a goal in their multis. Sorry about that. I owe you all a beer. So that's what Lockie said on his Twitter.
Yeah, I mean, that's obviously his way of dealing with whatever it was he was coping with that day. But he shouldn't have to either. And he's clearly tried to make light of it and acknowledge it in a typical Lockie Neal way. But the fact that the footballers have to think about this as part of their game debriefs is a worry in itself, isn't it?
Holding the ball, Purple, I want to talk to you about that, because ever since Al Clarkson said that not enough of them are being paid, they are starting to be paid, but no one knows why and for what and what's going to happen next.
Yeah, and the glaring example out of the most recent matches was the Carlton West Coast game, wasn't it? And David Teague, I thought, spoke quite well after the match. He wasn't abusive or even all that critical of the umpires, but he was, I suppose, in dismay about the system that has come into play. And you're right to reference the Alistair Clarkson statements there, Jim, because there has been a change from that moment onwards. That was a round four comment that he made, and from there on, the game has been umpired differently. And I think to your point, and you've said this regularly on Triple M Footy since that moment, that you just don't know. When the whistle goes, you can be broadcasting, and while a certain decision was made a certain way only moments earlier, you don't know that it's going to be made the same way only minutes later, do you? So that was the issue with a couple of issues with decisions made against Carlton. Sam Petrevsky, Seaton was on the receiving end of a couple. It certainly was eyebrow raising. We had a look at it today on Access Hilarious, Jim. There were six or seven examples. Look, I think four or five of them were okay, but the glaring ones are the worry, aren't they? And the glaring ones are the ones that actually can go either way. And look, the AFL is not going to publicly say anything about this. And I do, Jim and Bill, sympathise with the umpires on this. They're being disrupted this year as much as any group of people in the AFL industry. And they can't get a crack at their training sessions. They can't get a crack at a proper debrief. And I do feel for them. I feel that the remote nature in which they're operating this year has not at all helped their cause. But, of course, the Alistair Clarkson comments, Jim, as you raise them, were the reason that we're talking about this 8 to 10 weeks later without there being a proper resolution.
I've got a thought on it, Purple, and that is that the clubs, if they can make it happen, need to get Ric Flair, need to get Rowdy Roddy Piper, need to get The Undertaker, whoever it is from WWE, because you remember that back in the day you'd have a man pinned down and he was gone for all money, and then he'd do the full body shake and suddenly manage to get rid of a 400-kilo bloke from on top of him. If you're taking in a tackle now, Purple, you just got to do the Ric Flair, you know, do the salmon on the ground as hard as you can, and that's enough for the umpire not to pay holding the ball.
Simple as that, is it, Jim, is it, you reckon?
That's it. That's all they need to do. And I'd like to see Rowdy Roddy Piper again anyway. Hey, moving on from that, Purple, can you see prelim final Jim behind me here?
I can. Oh, I know. Looks like you're wearing a Richmond jumper, Jim.
Yeah, that's the Claremont back in the 1990 final series, actually, versus South Fremantle, Subiaco Oval, centre-half back. I think that was about possession number 24, Fat, and just did it, Jim, with Glenn Denning style.
Mate, you said 20 in the opener, so you've already.
No, I think I've added a few more. Four more, yeah, and that's halfway through the third quarter too.
Have you also declared to your list? Have you also declared to the listeners, Jim, that you were playing seconds football in that photo?
Yeah. Doesn't matter. Final at Subiaco Oval versus Swan Districts. You can see it there. Right next to Newsreader, Jim, actually. And before I finish having to broadcast from home, that whole wall is going to be furnished, Fat, with paraphernalia.
And guess which what? Photo the next do you want one up is, next, Bill?
Which one do you want up next?
A cockhead, Jim.
No, I've got lots of them.
hey, you know what I'm liking, boys? While we're having a nice chat about footy here, I'm liking the shorter quarters and hence the shorter games. Are you in agreement with me?
As an ideal, Bill, no, I'm not. I totally understand and
what
get
what you mean as an ideal. You either do or you
think
don't.
Well, there's no such thing as an ideal world this year, but I would like to think that it does go back to the 20-plus time on because I feel it creates more drama for the classical games. You might want to throw back to me, Bill, that the Port Adelaide Richmond game on the weekend was a ripper, and it absolutely was. But I just love the unknown about the fatigue that kicks into those games. But I do like what they've done though this year with it, Bill, and I think the players as a whole have really adapted to it really well.
I like the fatigue factor too, Purple, because when you get late in quarters, those last 5 minutes where players are generally out on their feet, that's when you can often rattle four or five on. And the only reason I don't like the shorter games is because if a team's get 30 points up, the game's over. Whereas last year and before, you can run down a 30-point lead. So I actually prefer the longer games, to be honest. And I suspect so do the broadcasters so they can get more ads away.
Yeah, probably. Yeah, Sorry, Damo. The other thing is, do teams not tag anymore? I've just been watching Lachie Neal. I just read it in the Herald Sun. This is what he's had this year, Jim. 26, 32, 31, 29, 26, 30, 33 and 33. He's winning the Herald Sun 21 votes. Next is Boke on 12. So he's got that one. He's winning the Coaches Award. He'll probably win that. Do we not Brownlow? Just tag? Why wouldn't you run someone with him? Just someone.
I don't know. It's worth a try, isn't it?
I think it's the Richmond model, isn't it, Bill and Jim, in that they have, I suppose, built their success on each person in that team playing his role. And there's no tag role per se in it. There's sort of stuck downish roles, but they're still running forward. So yeah, I reckon each team's tried to build it that way. Yeah, they're not. Yeah, you're not right.
But there's De Boer, I reckon. And is there any other taggers in the comp?
Well, Hutchings sometimes when he's playing for West Coast. But again, I think the longer games used to promote that role a bit more. But I'm with you, Fat. Even down, I mentioned it on the footy the other night, even down to Caleb Daniel for the Western Bulldogs, who is so clearly the player they use to distribute the footy out of defensive 50, and he's unbelievably good at it. Why wouldn't you get a defensive forward standing on him to make sure that they can't use him for that, and then they've got to use someone else?
Yeah, exactly. You know they're going to give it to him. He kicks it well. He sets him up. So, but Lachie Neale, he must just think, what's going on here? I'll just run around and do what I want.
It seems to be the taking, doesn't it, with the Brownlow. Petrarca is obviously having a good season too. I'm really loving Travis Spokes' season, Bill and Jim. He's been as crucial as anyone to the Power being two games clear on top of the ladder. He was great again, wasn't he, against Richmond. I reckon for a guy who's already got two All-Australian jumpers and two best and fairest at Port, to me what he's doing this year is above both those aspects of his CV already. And I think he's putting together in his 14th year his best AFL season, which takes some doing, doesn't it? And it just goes to underline the professionalism with which he's always approached his game, and that he can now be two seasons removed from being captain of the club and yet still be the sole leader. I want to say sole leader, the important leader, the spiritual leader, is what I was after. Of what they are about. And I love Dixon, Bill. I reckon he's got more presence than anyone when he's up and about. You'd love him too, wouldn't you, Jim, with the way he gets the chest out.
Arms pumping.
Robbie Gray.
No, brilliant. But love him. Why aren't I buying into them anymore, Fat? Or more than I should be? They're a game clear. Their percentage is nuts. Beaten the Richmond. Why don't I buy into them enough?
I'll tell you why. Because we've seen this before from Port Adelaide. Yes. They've done this before. Think they're going to win the grand final, they're home and hose, and they drop away. So we're all waiting, and we don't want to see them drop away, of course.
No.
But we're all waiting to see where they finish at the end of the year and then how they go in finals.
I'm a buyer because I think the kids that they blooded last year and the celebrated trio of Rosie, Butters and Dersmer, there's others around them, but they've backed up those extraordinarily good first years of footy with an even better second year when it's all said and done, all three of them. And I really like what they've added. And I look, hand up here, I had no idea Tom Jonas was as good a player as he clearly has been for a long time and is and always was. But, yeah, I think they're real deal. And I don't see them choking this year. I really don't. I reckon they're right there to the very end.
I reckon there are, let me just count it here, boys. I reckon there are five teams in a row in the middle of the ladder that I don't know about. And I'm going to roll them all off.
Righto.
GWS, Collingwood, Melbourne, Bulldogs, Essendon. I can't tell you about whether any of them are going to be October or November threats, but they might be. The difference with all of those clubs between their best and their worst is too great for me.
Yeah, I'm off the Bulldogs now. They're 5-6, 5 wins, 6 losses. Their average losing margin now is more than 6 goals, and to me that's pretty damning. I still feel Collingwood, Jim, of those clubs you rattled off, will win enough games to squeeze into the 8, as I believe will GWS.
Can they do damage in there once they're there?
Not necessarily. No, that's the other issue, isn't it? Well, obviously, they should and could get Pendlebury back as early as this week, and there's still some major doubt about how coming back at all and when they get Dugowie back. It's a hard road, yeah. So I just feel GWS will win enough. The Bombers, I'm just not yet prepared to write them off. They've got a really tough sequence of games. Gold Coast, St Kilda, and then Richmond. We're going to know then, aren't we? They'll then play that postponed game.
They've got a game,
That was round 3 against Melbourne, I believe, in the round 14 allotment of matches. So we're going to know in the next 3 weeks, maybe 4, about them. But I'm just not, strangely enough, Jim, prepared to write them off just yet. I thought they were pretty good against the Giants. They only lost by the kick, as we know.
Yeah, give me a top four then, Jim, because, all right, Port Adelaide, do they stay there when
they do now. Brisbane stay there.
St Kilda?
Yeah, I'm not sure about the Saints yet. I'm not sure about them. West Coast, I like Richmond and Geelong. So 5 of the top 6, I reckon, are going to stay there. Saints, I just need, well, here's me talking, but I want to see them maintain their level.
Yep.
But I love Port and Brisbane, as in, you know, they're flying along beautifully, and Port will get a lot more games at home, as will Brisbane, and that's big this year, as will West Coast. So isn't it funny? Three of the top four teams have got blissful home ground advantage. Richmond are very good, Geelong are very good, and the Saints, well, we hope they're very good. So,
and now just
but it's that next band.
Yeah, the home ground advantage. Grand final, like the last couple of days, been in front of the paper, on the paper. Where do you think it's going to be, or do we got any idea?
Bill, as we've been discussing even on this program, haven't we, for probably 2 months, the finals will be in Queensland. To me, the question obviously is the grand final, and there is a possibility with WA and SA governments giving special exemptions to AFL players entering that there could be a gap between the conclusion of the preliminary finals, where the grand finalists obviously are determined, and the staging of that particular grand final. So I reckon everything's on the table. I feel, by way of opinion, that the AFL would like it to be in WA or SA, a football state. And the thank you that can go to the Queensland government will be the Brownlow being held there, I believe, and the first 3 weeks of finals. I reckon that would be a good enough thank you. And then to get the big game into the shiniest toy, which is the stadium in Perth, would be the way I would read it at this stage. Have you got any views on that one, Bill?
No, I'm with you. I think it's a footy state. Adelaide is a very good stadium. We know that. And just the atmosphere there the other night with only 10,000 people was unbelievable. Mm. Port fans who are mad, we know that. But that was unbelievable. So, honestly, I wouldn't care really if it's Perth or Adelaide, to be honest.
How are we holding up the Festival of the Footy, boys? It's quite extraordinary, isn't it, that we're talking here on a Monday. Tonight we've got Geelong playing in a very big game. And I'm with you, Jim. I like what Geelong's dishing up. So they've got St Kilda tonight on a Monday. And then a bigger game the Cats have got only 4 days later on the Friday against Port Adelaide. It's extraordinary just to think that here we are. Geelong could go from... go to being a top four guarantee with the two wins in those games, or to being in that list of clubs that you had question marks all in the space of 4 days.
Oh, I can't wait for tonight, because it tells me if St Kilda are legitimate, because they're going to have to beat a really good team at the Gabba. That'll be a cracker. And the Dockers and Hawthorn are in that bottom band where we know that they're not going to feature. Hawks are, of course, a watch purple, because we don't really know what they're doing with their list, whether they're about to chop it off at the knees and start again, or whether they're going to continue this patch-up they've done now for quite some time. Freo, I reckon they're emerging. The Kangaroos, very, very poor,
Jim,
yesterday.
What's going on there, Jim, with your mob?
Do you need to go back yesterday there, Jim?
After quarter time,
sort that out?
I thought their pressure was decent to quarter time after that. And honestly, like Sean Higgins, as you two both know, is in the top sort of bracket of my favourite players. I've never seen him slaughter the ball by foot. There were more missed kicks from him yesterday than I've seen in his whole 200-plus game career in one game. Mm. So that shows where their heads are at. They were horrible. Melbourne, by the way, they've got Collingwood and then the Western Bulldogs in the next 2 weeks, Purple. If they can somehow turn the wick up, that might be one of the most unlikely stories coming out of this season.
It would be, and you need to factor in, don't you, the fact that their two wins after Glenn Bartlett made his comments have been against Adelaide and North Melbourne, and it's a toss of the coin as to which is the most horrendously performed club this season. And just before we jump off North, Jim, and back onto Melbourne, they've lost 8 of 9. I know you know that, but they've lost 8 of 9. The one win coming against Adelaide Crows, North Melbourne, since the resumption of footy. So they're a rattled bunch down there, over there at North, over there in the Southwest Queensland hub. And the remaining matches are going to be worrying viewing, I think, for people attached to that footy club.
Yeah, I feel for Reece. It's a very tough initiation for him. The next 40 games are huge for them, Purple. If they can get their strategy during that time right, they can set the next decade up for the club, because I think their kids are good. They're going to get two first round picks in this upcoming draft. So I think they've got an opportunity to really, you know, set the thing up well, but they're going to have a very clear strategy and stick to it.
Mm. Bill, did you see Cozzy Pickett yesterday as part of that Melbourne win? I mean, Petrarca was the one who lit it up and has been lighting it up pretty much all year in any Demon win, but You could see why they were so keen to get him last year, mate, in the draft, couldn't you?
His kicking was unbelievable. Everyone else, he couldn't hit a barn, and he was his kicking was very good. He just his first, his second effort. He's a fantastic player, and I see Byron sitting in the crowd there.
Yeah, choppy.
Oh, yeah. He's an uncle, of course. But, no, he's a very good pickup. And, look, that was a good win. They've still got Maxi Gawn to come back in, so that'll help them. And, of course, Viney. So they've got a couple to come back in. Every side's got injuries, I know that. So yeah. We'll see how they go. But, no, we do like Cozzy.
The Pies have got Adelaide Crows on Tuesday this week, and that they, of course, came off a good win, a battling win, but a gallant win at the same time against the Swans. And I loved how it came on the back of a man by the name of Josh Dacos, who, as we know, got celebrated for kicking the winning goal in a very extraordinary fashion. But even had he not done that, he was amongst the better Collingwood players on the ground in that match. He picked up 25 touches, and it was, to me, it was his best game of AFL footy. And there's stories like that, aren't there, Jim, that they're emerging in this unusual of seasons. They're getting opportunities. They're getting chances to not just get a game, a regular game, but to play a significant role within the game itself that they're being picked to play. And that is an intended positive, isn't it, out of this this condensed football and the injuries that particular club has had this year.
No, they tell me his younger brother isn't far away either, and is even better from everything you hear. So they're going to get some good father sons there. I'll tell you the other thing. I had a look at the Gold Coast Suns the other night, and first time I'd seen them playing with Isaac Rankin, and I'd seen the highlight reel a couple of times, but I thought now I get to watch a whole 2 hours of him go. He is incredible.
Good.
Honestly, the stuff he does is outrageous. Yeah. Like, honestly, big hanger, but then the goal I loved, Purple, was when he just arched his back, bounced the ball away, and then in the mode of a man you and I love, the great James Krakua, was then able just to calm himself and slow down and slot it. And for a young player to have that much composure, he is just fantastic.
Yeah, and I really hope, and I think Stewie Jew's the sort of coach that will allow him to just keep being himself. And we've seen this before, haven't we? And eventually the system gets to these players, doesn't it? I just hope the system doesn't get to him, and that he's allowed to be clearly the extraordinary talent he is for as long as he can be. We need to touch on West Coast too, don't we? Just quickly, six in a row now. We know, and we were quite critical, all of us, and I think rightly so, of what they were carrying on with when they were in the hub in the early stages of
in
this
Brisbane,
season.
They badly three.
They badly held the last row there, but they just got their act together late in the piece there, and they've now got six in a row, and they're just doing enough in each game. And what they did against Carlton was good. Don't get me wrong. Carlton was really good. But again, the big boys up forward, just give them that chop out, don't they, when they are in trouble and they just need to get back on an even keel. The long ball goes in, doesn't it? And those big boys just stabilise whatever it is that's going against them, and then the midfield kicks in, as it nearly always does, and they're as well placed as anyone, aren't they, to go into a grand final again. Yeah.
Elliot Yeo is so important to him, isn't he? He's such a good player.
And Kelly too, believe me. It took him a while, didn't it? But he's there now. I mean, he's absolutely embedded himself now into that high-end workings of that midfield group. He was always going to. It probably just, the surprise was it took him a little bit longer. But when they've got such a finely oiled machine as that was without him being in there, it was always just a little bit of time.
So they're not in. They're
fully
not
work himself in.
They're not in fifth gear yet.
No, they're not. But they're going to get all of... Well, this is my next question to Purple. With the hubs, the way they are now established, are West Coast going to travel anywhere from now on, or will the rest of their home and away games be at Optus Stadium?
Yeah, they'll have to travel. Whether they actually have to hub is a question I don't yet have the answer to, Jim. But yes, they will travel. It could well be into Queensland again, but maybe a bit more north. But again, the AFL, as far as I know, will at some stage, probably late this week, maybe Friday, release at least rounds 14 and maybe 15. And yeah, but we'll get a clearer picture on that at that stage. But yeah, to answer your question, Jim, it won't be as it was last year with Richmond, seven games run home at the MCG for them. It will not be that run home for the Eagles going into the 2020 final series.
And Brisbane's the other one. I don't have the exact number in front of me. They've played 11 games. What, 10 or 9 of them have been in Queensland. So at some stage, they've got to get on the road too, surely.
They just have to. And you can just imagine the other chief executive officers of the other clubs, can't you, just reminding Marcus King and Travis Auld, who do the fixture, that that needs to be done. We know, and we're all grateful, aren't we, industry in a competition that that part of the world, Queensland, has allowed this competition to go on. But that doesn't mean that the two clubs who are permanently based there need to be given the full service all the way through. So that will be taken into as best effect as they can.
All right, so buses purple. Are we sending them anywhere? Off.
Yeah, we've still got that one. We've still got that one up there at North Melbourne.
Get another one.
We just need to have a look at what's going on at the Western Bulldogs. We're not going to send it there yet, Jim. We just want to put it on an advance order because the average losing margin of 37 points in the six matches they've lost is indicative of a team that is a long way off it when it's all said and done. So just keen to see over the next fortnight, but we'll put an order on that bus without actually paying for it.
It's personal with you.
No, it's not. Don't start that. Do not start. I was actually on them there for a couple of weeks. I've been really disappointed with them. My new favourite player is Bailey Smith.
Things there. I can see that. Hey, Purple, great chatting to you. Go and enjoy the rest of your Monday.
Cheers, boys.
See you, Dave.
Damo's recovery session. When you need a tool, call Co-Tire on 13 15 52.